Prince. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, the Bible has a whole lot of things that was going on during that time, and I won't be able to cover them all because I just don't have enough time. If I had time, well, then I would cover them to the best of my ability. But what happened, I will start out by talking about the fact that when Jesus was betrayed, he was betrayed because Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, betrayed him. And the way that he betrayed him was that he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And the way that he indicated to, they didn't really know who Jesus was. And the way that he betrayed him was by, he was going to go and to him and plant a kiss on him. That was to let them know, the ones that was trying to, or wanted to, let them know, this is one. Well, they did, and he went and planted a kiss on him, and Jesus said, suffer ye this for, and touch his ear. They had that kiss on him to let him know who he was. Anyway, he went and, after he was betrayed, was Peter was approached, he was around the fire, and one of the young women that had saw him with Jesus had said that, pointed him out and said that he was with him. And of course, Peter denied that he was with Jesus and said, I do not know this. And can you imagine what it was like, having been in the midst of many things that occurred with Jesus, that even to being on the mountain of transfiguration, seeing him transfigured, and had been that close to him, would deny him. But yet, he did. And so they took him, he was on trial, and they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Father, he didn't find no fault in him. So they took him before Pilate, and Pilate had him to go before well, they questioned him as to whether he the man from Galilee. They said that he was from Galilee, but then they took him before Herod and asked whether the man was he the man of Galilee. And he also had decided that after Pilate had said, well, I find no fault in this man, they took him from, he was just like a convict, and took him from judgment hall to judgment hall to try to get, I guess they wanted a confession out of Jesus to say that he was, so they asked him a question. And you're the king of the Jews. And the way that Jesus answered that was that he said, I have said. And so they went on, and that crucify him, because they, when once Jesus, they went to Jesus, they said to crucify him. The people were saying, crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two male factors that was had been thieves, and the one on the right hand of Jesus was the one that said, when they knew that they were going to be crucified.
Yeah.
He said, Father, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, do you remember me? And he said that you shall be in paradise with me today.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one, he never said anything. The only thing that they were saying was that if you be the king of Jews and you have saved others, why don't you save yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And bring come down off that cross.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But it wasn't the plan of God to have Jesus to come down from the cross, because he sent him here for a purpose.
Yes,
and the purpose was to save the sinner's soul, like me, and like us.
Yes, sir.
And if he had not gone to the cross, we would not, probably wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
We would not be remembering the price that he paid for our soul.
Amen.
And the price that, if you're a believer, if you believe in the crucifixion of Jesus, you will know that if you believe in him, then he's already paid the price. And because God so loved the world, that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. And so that's why that today I'm so glad, that I have an everlasting life, and I can stand before you and tell you that I have an everlasting life because I believe in Jesus' sacrifice that he made for me on the cross.
Yes, sir.
Nobody's showing me that I have
amen.
So many minutes left.
Amen.
but
I'm going to say that there are so many other things that we need to do. If you study your Bible,
yes, sir,
and you read this,
amen,
you will see that the Lord has given us a way.
Yes, sir.
So just
thank you. All right, brother.
Came to himself, and our Lord said something very important to him. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Luke 23, verse 43. With no further ado, welcome Brother Elmer Luke.
Yes, sir.
How we can picture heaven and eternal life.
Mm-hmm. not at some far out space galaxy when people say the heavens above, but a place of where we would be, where God would have us to be. And in a garden, which is funny that that's one of America's second natural favorite pastimes. What's also is amazing about this is also where the Creator was, where He came to be man. Part of the verse, you will be with me. It's home to a lot of us. We don't like being left out of anything. Off the basketball team, off the football team, some of us out of the choir, not me and Ben. being last picked, being left out. The thief that did repent and acknowledge Jesus as God also probably was being felt and left out. I'm sure no one showed up to watch him die on the cross, or at least to cry for him on the cross. Of all the people there, the only other man that showed him some compassion was not his buddy, but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So coming to know Christ and coming to accept Christ is here. This here is what the Bible said he came to do. For it says in Matthew 1:23, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Right.
I'm sure the criminal was shocked that he had his head had somehow come to know the good news about Jesus Christ, and that he came to accept Christ right there on the cross. That he acknowledged his sins, acknowledged that he should be put to death, but also, most importantly, acknowledged before those there that Jesus was God and that he gave reverence to him. Thank you, Pastor Neil. I'm still working on the one verse that you asked, that word that you said to me about 5 times, maybe 7, and that is today. What I would say from this verse is, man was the first one that knew verbally and wholeheartedly that God was taking him to heaven with him that day.
Amen.
Now that has been offered to all of us from Jesus Christ upon accepting him as our personal Savior, and that's upon repenting of our sins and following him in his ways, that today we can be with him in heaven. And the last few words are, I tell you the truth, Jesus, since his time here on earth, has always told the truth. He started both of his teachings with, verily, verily, I say unto you.
Yes,
and the other favorite one is, I tell you the truth.
Yes,
living in the world we live today where we can follow a lot of people astray.
Yes,
or be led astray by following the wrong things.
Yes, sir.
Being lied to by others.
Yeah.
And lying ourselves.
Amen.
To us, if we hold to his teachings, the way it actually said in John 8:31-32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and I will tell you the truth, and it will set you free.
Yes.
Go back to Genesis, we know that what God had always longed to do was be with us in the garden, to come and comfort us, to talk to us.
Yes,
and so, I conclude with, isn't this the way you want to live? Isn't this the way you want to die?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this the way you want to live again?
All
right. Amen. Amen.
Him as your Savior, you shall be saved.
Amen.
keep moving. Jesus up on that cross, looking around, I believe he was taking a personal inventory of who came out to see the Son of God crucified. Who came out to watch this show? According to the Gospel of John, our Lord laid eyes upon Mary, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene, and John, the disciple whom he loved. Presenting the third of our Lord's seven last sayings, "Woman, behold thy son," taken from John 19:26, Deacon Jeremy Carter. Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then said he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. First thing I want to start with is the word "behold," which is used 1,326 times in the Bible. "Behold" is used four times. "Beholdeth" is also used four times. "Beholding" is used 15 times. And "behold" means to look, pay attention, fix your eyes upon. And that's what Jesus was saying to Mary at that time. And Mary, in her condition at that time, she was distraught. She was heartbroken. Amen. She felt despair and sadness, anguish. Her whole world was being destroyed in front of her very own eyes. Mm-hmm. Jesus was addressing her at this moment of her weakness. And this was a show of true love. Jesus was telling Mary to look up. Be encouraged. She knew his mission. She knew when she was chosen.
Amen.
He knew that he was fulfilling the prophecy.
Amen.
The prophecy that was written. He was doing his father's business. The same business he was doing some 20 years prior at Passover. Mm-hmm. Me, when I was given this text, I had nothing. I was just kind of saddened and shook, and I said, "What am I going to do with this? And what did they do with it last year?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to just watch it and start picking things apart." And somebody said to me, "Well, LaVon told me," she said, "well, you know, use what God gives you. Don't copy anything else somebody else has, because what God gives you is for you."
Amen.
And this is just what God put on me.
Amen, Deacon.
And what he gave to me was, Mary represents us, the people. What we need to do. We need to get away from our sins and transgressions and our iniquity. We are constantly looking everywhere but to our Savior.
Amen.
Jesus was telling Mary right there, in her darkest hour, look up. Because that's where he was. On the cross, in the air, while everyone was mocking and scorning and talking and doing everything, but he was there. Yeah. Still there. Still, and everything he said was love. He wasn't done blessing people. But for us, we're always looking everywhere but to our Savior. We're looking for a new house or a new car. A new husband, a new wife. We're looking for our kids to act right.
Amen.
Looking for a way out of our circumstances. Amen. Looking for good life, health, and strength. But Jesus said, one of Pastor's favorite verses, John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him." Want a way out of your circumstances, look up.
That's the point.
Amen.
Good point.
Amen.
If you're tired of the kids doing whatever they want, grab your Bible.
Better.
If you got to hit them with it, they'll know what you mean. But people, we got to quit looking down.
Amen. Yes,
we look down at other people. We look down at ourselves. And right here, Jesus was talking to Mary, but he was talking to us.
Amen.
When he said, woman, behold thy son. Look. Look up.
Amen.
He said, people, look up at the son.
Amen.
These people that were there scorning and just treating Jesus any old kind of way, these people didn't do anything to Jesus but put him that much closer to our Father in heaven.
Amen.
It goes on, behold thy mother. But she was saying, watch her, care for her. Mary was all in. She was all in. As soon as she met the angel the first time, for that first visit,
amen,
when the angel said, you're the chosen one, she was all in. She wasn't, well, I'm about to get married, and I ain't had no kids yet, and I got things to do, and, you know, I could be doing everything, but she accepted it. She said, what should I do? How is it going to get done?
Yes.
So she was all in. And that's what we need to be. We need to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
It was the disciples' mission to watch over and care for and preach the gospel to the people. Mm-hmm. When Jesus said, behold thy mother, again, Jesus brought that to me as mother, as Mary represented us, the people. And the disciples' job, their duty, was to preach and care for the people. They were their job was to serve us the gospel.
Amen.
And who better to start with than the person who's been with Jesus the longest? Mary was there when he was born, and she was there when he died.
Amen.
None of the disciples can brag that.
Amen.
So why not start with the one that was there at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was there every time there was a parable. Mm-hmm. Wherever Jesus went, she was trying to be there. The only time she wasn't with Jesus is when he separated himself with the disciples. When he went into the wilderness after he was baptized. Those were the only times they were apart. So if there was anything that one of the disciples needed, they could look to her and say, well, I don't quite remember, but I know you were there. So starting with the one that some would say loved Jesus the most was important. And it left no room to think about it or question. How am I supposed to treat the people of God or treat the people of God the same way you treat my mother? So by honoring Jesus, taking care of his mother, the one that he loved and loved him the most. And behold thy mother. In other words, behold my people. Look after my people. Take care of them.
Amen.
That's what the disciples went out and did.
Yeah.
They went out and did this till their inevitable end.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to be longer, but that's alright. Last year, I ended with, I think I put a Jeremy's final thought or something like that, and I came up with another one. But I had to rephrase the title. I had to make it Deacon Jeremy's final thought. And this came to me about a week ago when I was at work singing a little song. And my thought is, it's a highway to heaven. Only the low and humble believer can find the on-ramp.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Take your eyes off the world. Put them on Jesus, the
whole council, from his birth to his death. Amen. About the ninth hour, while our Lord was still hanging on the cross, hanging on Calvary's cross, probably set up for hearing people mock and ridicule him, he had something to say. He said it in a different language. Properly done, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The Gospel of Matthew interprets it to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. Taken from Matthew 27, verse 46. Please welcome Deacon Napier.
God is good, amen. You know, right now my energy level is kind of low because I've been at work all day long and had to transition to come in here. But you know, God's word just renews my energy. You know, he gives me that ability to get up and go even when my energy level is low. Let me first of all, like always, setting the foundation, let me go before our Lord with prayer, please. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you're good, Heavenly Father, because we see the results, Heavenly Father, of all that you do for us, Heavenly Father. All the neat things that you supply for us, Heavenly Father, our needs are met, Heavenly Father. They may not be what we would want them to be, Heavenly Father, but you know what's best for us, Heavenly Father. Your ever-presence in our life, Heavenly Father. You're walking with us every step of the way, Heavenly Father. As we just continue to be in your presence, Heavenly Father, we will continue to lift you up, Heavenly Father. And this is our opportunity today, Heavenly Father, in which we can come before your presence and just to say, Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We appreciate you. And we're going to always lift you up, Heavenly Father. So in your Son's Master's name we pray, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Father, Savior, and friend. Amen. Let me start first here. You know, I'm blessed, first of all, to be able to stand before each and every one of you today. But I feel blessed. See, I know I'm blessed because I'm in the Lord's presence. But I really feel blessed because God picked me to go in the middle. But right in the middle, I just feel so blessed, you know. Thank you, Jesus. I encourage each and every one of you to open your Bibles. If you don't happen to have a Bible, then refer to your pew Bible directly in front of you. The scripture I'm reading today can be found in St. Matthew's. In the pew Bibles, that's going to be found on page 1389. And make it easy just to sell. To sail right on through. Because when we open our Bibles and we're following along, we're kind of like being students of the Word of God. And also, if I make any mistake, you can catch me. Here we go. It was about the ninth hour. Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama. You guys know. I don't want to mess that one up. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken is one of the most haunting words we can imagine. This word recalls for many of us tears, heartache, and disappointment. Feeling abandoned and unbearable loneliness. But of all we can imagine in our human experience, cannot compare to how our Savior fell when he was hanging on the cross. At that moment, he was forsaken by God. The God who stood with him when the earth was created, and when the animals were created, when God made men and blew the first breath into his nostrils, Jesus was there. The anguish he felt as he cried out aloud, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you ask, why would God turn his back on his only begotten Son? The same Son that God spoke of in Matthew 12 and 18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Because the Bible tells us that God is so holy that he cannot even look upon sin. And God took upon him all the sins of the world, past, present, and future sins. Your sins, my sins, everyone's sins. I want to give you an example of how God hates sin. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. Genesis 3 and 23, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and sinned, what was their first response? They recognized that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Why? Because they knew they were wrong. God banished both man and his wife from the garden. God dealt with sin. Genesis 6 and 5 shows us that man's wickedness was so horrible that he had to flood the earth, wiping out everything away except for Noah and his family, and two of every kind of animals and birds. God dealt with sin. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom was a place filled with all sorts of immortal sin and homosexuality. In Genesis 19 and 24, tells us how God rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. God dealt with sin. The Bible tells us that the book of Revelation, God will open the Lamb's book of life. If your name is not found, you will be cast into a lake of fire. And this is known as the second death. There are countless times that the entire book that God dealt with sin. He cannot condone, accept, or look upon sin in any form. This is also included in his only begotten Son, Jesus.
Amen.
You ask, why did Jesus place himself in that position? Why would he take upon him the sins of the world? Why would he allow himself to be separated from his Father? Or separated from his Father, I should say. Why would he be obedient even unto death? I will tell you why. Four letters, L-O-V-E, love, because he loved us that much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God had a plan for salvation mapped out before the worlds were framed. He loved us so much that he died for every lie, every murder, every act of fornication and adultery, and for all unbelief, all of our envy, our jealousy, our pride, our hatred, our bitterness, our anger, our hostility, our backbiting, our malice, you get it, the list goes on and on and on. Because God turned away from Jesus as he took upon the sins of the world upon himself, we can now be redeemed from the grips of sin. Amen. We can now make the decision to accept Christ and have our names written in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
These words were spoken by our Savior, Jesus Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Spoken as he took my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Your sins and the world's sins upon his shoulders. He endured darkness and sin, torment and death. Our Savior was forsaken of Father God so that he might not never be forsaken. God's continued blessings to everyone. I thank you.
Deacon Nate here said, don't be forsaken, full of tears, heartache, and loneliness, but get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Because Jesus died for you.
Amen.
It must have been hot. Jesus had been hanging on the cross for a few hours now, probably sweating profusely, lost a lot of blood, just maybe he was feeling a little weak, need to get his, as we would say, his second wind. No. Well, because Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. My need is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. With that in mind, Jesus said, I thirst. Take it from John 19, verse 28, presented by Brother David Bryan.
Good evening, everyone. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. By definition, to thirst is to have a desire or a need to drink. I'm sure we all know what it feels like to be thirsty. Whether it's from being outside on a hot summer day, whether it's exercising, playing sports, or any other activity that makes you sweat a lot, we have all been thirsty at some point in our lives. Now imagine, instead of that cold glass of water or the lemonade you desire, someone brings you a glass of vinegar to drink. That's what was offered to Jesus after hours of carrying his cross in the hot sun, after being beaten, after having a crown of thorns forced down on his head. Even after having nails driven through his hands and feet, he was offered vinegar for his thirst. Though their intent was to torment, Jesus knew this was part of prophecy, as told in Psalm 69, verse 21. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. But Jesus didn't just thirst in the physical sense. There was a spiritual thirst as well. After all, he was the living water.
Amen.
As he said in John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Also in John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you have ever noticed the way water travels, you will see that it flows freely, creating its own path. Just picture a raging river that has flooded its banks. The water is unstoppable, creating its own path. A new path, taking out things that have been in place for years. This is what Jesus was doing, eroding away the teachings of the chief priests and high council, creating a new path that anyone could follow. This was shown in John 4 and 9 and 10. Then saith the women of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. As Jesus was transitioning at this moment from his human form in life to a spiritual form, it is here he was thirsting in a spiritual way for the Father who had forsaken him. And finally, his thirst was for the salvation of mankind.
Amen.
That we all could be saved.
Amen.
Thank you.
Sponge with vinegar and put it upon the hyssop and put it to his mouth. But little did they know, they had been used to open the door. No man would be able to shut it.
Amen.
After Jesus said, sup, he said, it is finished.
Amen.
Take it from John 19, verse 30.
Yes,
Warden Roy Morrison.
Thank you, Jay. To the pastor, thank you for giving me an opportunity to share some thoughts with you.
Thank you.
And with the Church of the Saying Sands of the Cross, and in particular John 19:30, it is finished. Pastor always said that he'll stretch us like a rubber band, but we won't break. I don't know how big that rubber band is, Pastor, but I'm stretching.
You understand?
As you are aware, John was a man sent from God as a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But as many that received him, to them gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that he believed on his name. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. John recorded how the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to him. Who are you? And he confessed that he was not the Christ. And he asked him, was he a prophet? And John said no, and indicated that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Amen.
And to make straight the way of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now Cephas, who was the high priest, which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was desirable under the circumstances that one man should die for his people. Simon Peter followed Jesus and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. They asked Peter, was he one of this man's disciples? And Peter said that he was not. And he even stood outside with the servants and the officers who made fire of coals. And Peter warmed himself with them. Mm-hmm. The high priest asked Jesus about the disciples and the doctrines. And Jesus told the high priest that he spoke openly to the world. Mm-hmm. And even taught in the synagogues, in the temples, where the Jews always were. And never did he speak in secret.
Mm-hmm.
Pilate entered into the judgment hall to judge Jesus according to the laws of the Jews, who said it was unlawful for them to put any man to death. Yeah. And Pilate asked Jesus, well, aren't you the king of the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die.
Mm-hmm.
He then asked Jesus, what have you done that the chief priest delivered you to me?
Amen.
1 Timothy 6:13 indicated that Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of the world.
Amen.
If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews?
Amen.
Pilate continued to tell them that he had no fault with Jesus. The custom at that time was to release to the high priest one at the Passover.
Yes,
and asked, therefore, should he release unto the king of the Jews? They all cried out and said, don't release this man for Passover, but to release Barabbas, who was a robber.
Mm-hmm.
They took Jesus and they whipped him. They caused all kinds of pain and affliction. And the soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head and put a purple robe on him, continually shouted, hail, King of the Jews, and hit him with their hands and mocked him over and over.
Mm-hmm.
The chief priests and officers, they saw Jesus and told the soldiers to crucify him. Despite all that Pilate said, no fault of this man, Jesus said by their law, he should die because he made himself the Son of God. They took the body of Jesus and rolled it in linen cloth with spices, which was the manner of the Jews for their burial. They placed him in a garden where he was crucified in a new sepulcher, where never was a man laid before. Mary Magdalene told the disciples,
she had seen the Lord, and that he spoke things to her and told her not to weep. Jesus told the disciples, "Peace be unto you," because they were afraid of the Jews. He told the disciples, "I receive you in the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained." They pierced him in his side, and blood and water came out. And they all saw this, and Jesus had to allow this to happen so we would believe. Of course, the chief priests indicated that the king, their king, was Caesar, and took Jesus and led him away bearing the cross to the place of the skull, which is called the Hebrew Golgotha. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and took the body of Jesus. Simon Peter went to the sepulchre and saw the napkin that was around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. They did not know that Jesus would rise again, though, from the dead. Jesus knew all things were not accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Said, "I thirst." They put a sponge full of vinegar into his mouth. When Jesus received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Ephesians 1:13 indicates, trusted and heard the word. It was sealed with the Holy Spirit, the promise of truth. And then you were sealed, and we all were sealed. Romans 6:10 and Hebrews 10:12 indicated that we know that Jesus died once for all. And he rose from the dead once. 3 days after paying the penalty of our sins on the cross. And the sinless Jesus conquered death by rising from the grave and breaking the power of sin. It was this final sacrifice of blood that opened the only way for us to have a relationship with God now, this day, and a home with him forevermore. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. John 14:1-4 indicates that he has promised that he's prepared a place for us. And he will someday return. One day we will be with our risen Savior. At Easter, in fact, every day of the year, we have a reason to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. In conclusion, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins forever. Rising, he justified freely forever. Yes, one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Thank you.
That didn't matter to me, but I noticed it gave the lineup of the speakers, and you guys spelled Jake's name right, you butchered mine. Jake's name's way harder to spell than mine. Luke 23:46 says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said thus, he gave up the ghost. Cried with a loud voice. Now when Jesus was crying with this loud voice, he wasn't crying because of the pain that he was experiencing up there on the cross. When Jesus was crying with a loud voice, he was crying out to get these folks' attention. He as may as well would have said, may I have your attention, please? He was crying out to let them know that he still had all power and he was still in control of this situation. He was letting them know that he was going to die when he said he was going to die. Remember what he said in John 10:17-18. And keep in mind, he was surrounded by folks that wanted to kill him. The very Jews that were making up rules and regulations that were against everything that he was bringing to us. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He laid it down for us, and I'm pretty sure he was saying it like that because he wasn't afraid. There wasn't no mumbling coming out of Jesus' mouth ever.
Come on, boy.
In Matthew 27:46, what Deacon Napier was speaking of, it says that Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But here, he went from my God to Father. So the agony of his soul from all the sins of the world being on him was over at this point when he said, Father. And the Father was pleased. Isaiah 53:10 said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus, the King and highest priest. King and priest, we've been going over that in our Sunday school lessons. He's about to offer himself. The high priest didn't offer himself. He offered a sacrifice of some animal. But this high priest was offering himself, his blood, unblemished, as the final sacrifice for all sin. So he's saying, Father, accept my life and my soul instead of the sinners that I'm dying for. The sinners, me, you, everybody that died before him and after him. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So he's commending his spirit to his Father. He's given his spirit to his Father. He's given his spirit to his Father. So where do these knuckleheads come up with this? Well, he had to go fight demons and take the keys from Satan in hell, and where he was being tormented and sodomized and stuff. Where do they come up with this stuff? It's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. Check it. So they're saying, you know, he made a mistake because there should have been a word but after he said it is finished. There was no but. He didn't go down to hell to get tortured. Finished means finished. And by knuckleheads, I mean the false teachers that are spewing this garbage. Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, etc., etc., etc. And there's a lot of them in Youngstown, too. Run from them. The Bible's a book of warning. I'm giving you scripture, and I'm warning you. Run from them. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm only going to mention one scripture, and there's plenty in the Bible against this stuff. And I'm going to mention one. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." How do you check them? How do you check them? With this word. Check me, see if I'm telling the truth. I thank God that we can check everything that our pastor preaches and teaches every Sunday, every Wednesday night with our Bible. It should line up with this Bible. And if it don't, we have the right to check him or question him according to the Word of God. "Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm" does not refer to priests and pastors. It referred to the kings anointed by God. That's who God's anointed was. Just like when Nathan approached David. Did he? Yes, he did. "I commend my spirit," Jesus said. In Psalm 31:5, it said, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Jesus quotes this psalm not only to fulfill the scripture, but to show that it was the Spirit of Christ that testified in the Old Testament prophets.
Amen.
As I close out here, I just want to say, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today, as our brothers were saying before us, today you can be saved. All of your sins, all the things that you did, there is nothing that you have done that is so bad that you cannot be forgiven.
Amen.
As long as you have a pulse and a breath, you have an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ and be saved today. Your sins will never be remembered in heaven. Your rap sheet in heaven disappears as of this moment today. If you do that, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," or woman, "he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." You're a new creature. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Talk to any one of the deacons or any of us after church if you'd like to, and if you want to know more about this, or just come every Sunday and you'll hear it.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Amen.
Pastor, he saved you.
Amen. I got me some new ministers now. Amen. Y'all know y'all was set up. Y'all didn't even know y'all was set up. Amen. Amen. Minister Roy, Minister Dave Bryant. Amen. Minister Luke. Get them names. Deacon Oliver there. Amen. That's just wonderful stuff. I'm just to see, you know, just the men of your church. You know, God didn't go out and look for scholars and theologians. He picked 12 normal guys. And the most educated one hung himself. So you figure it out. You figure it out. I don't know who the most educated one in that bunch. I think most of y'all, I think all of them got degrees. So I don't know. Y'all figure that out on your own. Y'all can talk about that on the Emmaus Road or something. I thank God for everybody tonight. Everybody showed up. It was a great night. And I love to hear the men of God. I do. I really do. And I know some people say I'm a Archie Bunker and a male chauvinist and all that. But I just love to hear men of God speak the word of God. Amen. Because I believe that men are the foundation of the church. And we need men to step up and take their rightful place in the church. And they've done a great job. And I look at the list and it's forgiveness you need before you can go to paradise. Keep looking up to the Lord. Be whole. Keep looking up to the Lord. The church, keep looking up to the Lord. I don't care what your situation is. Keep looking up to the Lord. The fact that you don't look up may be reason that you, it may indicate you may have already been forsaken. Keep looking up. Keep looking up. Stay thirsty. Stay thirsty for the things of God. Understand that God's work is done. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. All the work was done on Calvary. You can't work your way into heaven. It's already done.
Amen.
Understand that the work is finished. You have to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And one of the indicators that you have accepted Him is that you keep looking up and that you're thirsty. And I asked these guys to do this, and none of them, like I say, none of them sat there and say, I don't want to do it, or I'm nervous, or I'm too scared, or I can't. They did it. And they did a great job. The work is finished. The work is finished. I liked Brother Dunleavy. Jesus was in charge. He was in charge when He was on the cross dying for our sins. And guess what? He's still in charge. He's still in charge. And they can do a whole lot of things with Christmas. And they can do a whole lot of things with some of the other holidays. But there ain't a whole lot they can do with Resurrection Week. There's not a whole lot of things they can do. You see a few eggs in people's yards and stuff like that. But that's it. Folks ain't going out getting drunk. You ain't hearing folks going, I'm partying and all that. They have to take a real good look at themselves on Resurrection Week. And I hope we do the same thing. I know we have a busy week. I thank God for the kitchen committee. We're going to, Matthew, get up here and get ready to pray us out. Pray for the food. Amen. And again, we're gonna have our benediction. I don't have a lot to say. Thank God for, where's Jake at? Reverend Jake.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Reverend Jake and First Lady Jackie. First Lady Jackie over there and Reverend Jake. Amen. Don't Jackie look like a preacher's wife, seriously? Amen. Her and Cindy and Lori, they're going shopping to get their Touch of Pink outfits done. You know, that ought to be interesting. We're gonna bug the car and see what they say about us. Thank God for everybody and everybody showing up. Amen. Amen. Mr. Shelton snuck in. I see you back there. Hi, Sister Shelton. Amen. How's mom? Iffy. All right. God bless everybody. Keep everybody in your prayers. We're gonna get to the. I almost said child hall. We're gonna get to the fellowship hall. You know, I'm all messed up. But once I retire, I won't say child hall so much. But keep everybody in prayer. We got a lot of prayer requests. And talk to the people in the fellowship hall. Talk to them. Talk to Sister Claire. Find out about Dave. Find out about Vernon. I did talk to Ethel. We got some people with some issues. So let's share that. This is a time when we do that. We sit there in fellowship. So don't run out the door. I know we ain't got to tell the boys to run out the door because there's food here. So, but hang around. Give everybody a hug. This is a great week for the church. Amen. 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 Let's all stand, and we're gonna remain standing. But I asked Matthew to pray because I know Matthew ain't gonna pray long. So I asked Matthew to pray. You know, Matthew, my designated prayer. You know, so if I asked Deacon Jeremy to pray, and the food will be cold.
Amen.
Deacon Jeremy gonna pray for everybody in the whole world, and then the food. So Matthew, gonna get ready. Let's all hearts and minds are clear. Now to the King Eternal, Amen. Immortal. Invincible, to the God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Matthew's going to pray for our food. God bless you all once again.
Heavenly Father, we come to put our thank you for the day. Thank you for the night. Thank you for the time.